Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as state director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. It's hard to believe that this new year is already off and running. Every new year is full of hopes and dreams and plans, and oh, how do we love to make our plans. And our culture, it's almost obsessed with plans. We have our plans loaded up on our smartphones, written across our personal day planners and day timers. We plan out our annual budgets and fill up our family calendars with all of our New Year plans. Recently, I just finished putting together our CEF annual budget to present to our state board, which is really, in its essence, our financial plans for this whole year. I'm so grateful and thankful to the Lord for how He met and supplied all of our needs last year for this ministry. But as I stared at the numbers and began to take in all that it takes to fund this ministry to children year-round and provide for our CEF staff, I realized that only God could do this and make all these plans work together the way He wants. To be absolutely transparent with you, at that very moment when my heart should have been filled with praise for God's faithful provision in the past, I found my heart began to sink and fill up with fear at the coming new year. One thought kept rumbling around in my heart and mind. Lord, how will you do it again this year and meet all of our needs and fulfill all of these plans? One thing that is for certain, though, I don't want this to be my plans or CEF's plans, but I want to do and to fulfill all that God has planned and simply rest and trust in Him. But that's so easy to say, and most days so very hard to do, to just rest and trust in the Lord and His promised plan. I'd like to share with you today a chapter in the Bible that God recently encouraged my heart with from Psalm 37. I call it the Psalm 37 exit from fear to faith. Three times in Psalm 37, God says to fret not, and twice we are admonished instead to trust in the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 37, fret not thyself, trust in the Lord and do good. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself. And again, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Wait upon the Lord. Many of these verses are very familiar to us, and they're well known. But of all these verses that I read, it was verse 8 that stood out to me and caught my attention. The last half of verse 8 says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. That verse jumped off the page for me, and it caught my attention. I never thought about it before, but the Bible is saying here that our fears and our fretting leads us and causes us to do evil and to sin against the Lord. And then I thought, well, is there any biblical examples where fear in a person's life caused them to sin? Then as I thought about it even more and began to write down some examples that began to pop into my head, I was amazed that there is a whole range of biblical accounts where fear and fretting were front and center in a person's life and the root cause that led to sin and even massive consequences. For example, you have King David, the great warrior and the giant killer who trusted in God by faith for his deliverance time and time again since he was a shepherd boy. But then years later, we see David sitting on his throne, fretting about an upcoming war and numbering his troops out of fear and perhaps pride. God was not pleased, and a widespread plague broke out among his people until David went to God and pleaded with God for mercy because of his sin. The same sin of fear and lack of trust in the Lord seems to be the Achilles heel spiritually for Israel. Throughout Israel's history, for both the northern and southern kingdoms, almost every time Israel's land or borders were threatened, the people ran to everyone else but God. Israel would make alliances with other godless nations like Egypt, whom God had originally delivered them from. Years passed, but instead Israel forgot their history, forgot their God, and forgot all that God had done for them, all because of their fretting and fear and lack of trust in the Lord. As a result of after multitude times of forgetting God and not trusting in God for their deliverance, both the northern and southern kingdom fell or were taken into captivity as God's chastisement upon them. But the most prominent example of one who struggled with fear and faith in the Bible is also the one known as the father of faith, Abraham, who is the father of all of Israel and the very head of the whole Jewish nation. Twice Abraham lied about his wife because he feared for his life, seemingly cared nothing about what might have happened to his wife, and as we all know, That wasn't very nice. Then years later, Abraham and Sarah both lacked faith in God when they concocted a carnal plan to have a child outside of God's promised plan. The result of their fear-filled plan and faithless ways were devastating to their family, and the effects can still be seen in the split family lines of Isaac and Ishmael, of Jews and Muslims, down to this very day. But then we come to Genesis 22, which is the apex of faith account found in the Old Testament. It's as if God goes right after the spiritual jugular vein of Abraham's greatest fear, not the loss of his own life or the concern for his wife, but the fear of the loss of his son's life, Isaac, the one whom he greatly loved, his promised son. God commands Abraham to offer up his son, the son that he loved, Isaac, to the Lord. It was a great test of faith, but it was also a test of fear. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that faith is the victory, and so it was with Abraham with his son Isaac back in Genesis 22. But it wasn't because Abraham had faith in faith or faith in himself. No, Abraham's victory of faith was resting and trusting alone in God's promised word regarding what God had said in the past about his promised son. Listen again to Psalm 37 and hear and see the words as if through Abraham's eyes of faith during his greatest time of testing and temptation to disobey the Lord because of fear. Fret not thyself, trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Wait upon the Lord. Abraham's faith in God's word this time was so strong that the scriptures tell us in Hebrews that Abraham believed that if he must offer up his promised son Isaac, that the Lord would then raise him up from the dead. Now we see, looking back, that God having Abraham offer up his son was never God's intent. It was a test of faith in God's word and a test of Abraham's love for God. But did you ever wonder what in the world God was doing here in Abraham's life? Three times before, Abraham had failed the fear faith test miserably. But God didn't give up on Abraham. In fact, God was using and allowing Abraham's failures in the past to strengthen him and to prepare him for his greatest faith test in the future. Not because Abraham's faith was so great, but because our God is so great and because our God is a faithful God. Sometimes, if not all the times, we wonder, why is God allowing times of testing and trial into our lives? But when we have these hard things happen to us, even difficult things, we need to remember to get our eyes off of ourselves, off of our fear and our failures, and instead fix our eyes upon the Lord. Recently, our CEF local director from Southern Illinois sent me a copy of their local chapter's budget for this new year as well. The Southern Illinois area is our newest work in the state, where the local committee is building the work up from the ground. Even though their actual funding needs are relatively small, everything is like a heavy lift for them because they're starting off completely from scratch. On the same email about their budget, Robin Williams, our ministry director there, attached one simple verse at the bottom of the budget from Psalm 20, verse 7, that said this: "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." As soon as I read that verse, it struck a chord in my heart that resonated deep within and reminded me again to get off my fear highway and take the Psalm 37 faith exit back to trusting in the Lord. I realized I had been acting a bit like David, counting heads and numbers, and acting even more like Abraham, trying to figure this thing out and make this all happen on my own. Later, I shared my fretting and budget stress with a friend, and she set me straight with a few simple words. She said, "Katrina, you're acting as if this whole thing depends on you, but it doesn't. It has nothing to do with you. This is God's ministry, and God's got this." I knew as soon as she had said that, she was right, and that all my stressing and fretting had been pointless. Most people, when they read Psalm 37, they focus on verses 3, 5, and 6 about trusting in the Lord, delighting in the Lord, and committing your way unto the Lord, and trusting also in him, and he will bring it to pass. But I'm convinced that the key verse in Psalm 37 are not these verses, but in verses found much later, almost in the middle of the passage, that focuses our eyes upon not on what we do or what we don't do, but on what God is doing. Psalm 37, 23 and 24 says this: "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." We need to remember that God already knows our weaknesses, and He knows our fears, even when we don't. God even knows beforehand when we will fail, not if, but when. The Lord is never caught off guard when His people sin, fall down, go off track, and seemingly let go of God's hand. But the good news is that through it all, God never lets go of our hand. God has our hand, God's got our back, and He is with us each and every step of the way, just like in that famous Footprints poem. But these verses in Psalm 37 are even more specific and drill down to the very core of why God allows tough things, even hard things, to come into our lives. Verse 23 says clearly that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. In other words, God in His divine sovereignty and His sovereign rule upon our lives allows, even orders, tough things to come into our lives. Why? To strengthen us in the inner man, to be conformed to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a reflection of Him, and to be all that God intends for us to be, all for the glory of God. It seems that everywhere I turn recently, I've been hearing a song that both my boys love to listen to whenever it comes on the radio. My oldest son, Caleb, he loves it so much that he likes to play it on my cell phone on YouTube. Just the other day, I found him sitting there listening to it and singing along with the lyrics. It's a Christian song called Diamonds. Listen to some of these words because they're so powerful and they're so true. It says, "Here and now I'm in the fire. In above my head, being held under the pressure, don't know what'll be left, but it's here in the ashes I'm finding treasure. He's making diamonds, diamonds, making diamonds out of dust. He's refining in His timing. He's making diamonds out of us." And then the second verse, "I'll surrender to the power of being crushed by love till the beauty that was hidden isn't covered up. Oh, it's not what I've hoped for. It's something much better. He's making diamonds, diamonds, making diamonds out of dust. He's refining in His timing, making diamonds out of us. Oh, the joy of the Lord, it will be my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord, it will be my strength. When the pressure is on, He's making diamonds. He's making diamonds, diamonds. He's making diamonds out of dust. He's refining in His timing. He's making diamonds out of us." And that, my friend, is exactly why God allows times of trials, testing, and fears, and failure, and even floods coming into our lives. He even divinely orders them into our lives. We need to understand that during our times of stressing and fretting and outright fiery trials, that God is forging us in the fire and making something within us far more precious and far more glorious that outweighs all the trials we go through in this life. The Lord, through His Spirit, is strengthening us and sanctifying us in our faith by using the tests of time, pressure, and heat. And through it all, God is holding our hand every step of the way and making us His beautiful diamonds out of dust. We do not know what tomorrow holds. Our day timers and our day planners, they can never tell us. And even when our best laid plans are shredded into 1,000 pieces, we still know who is with us and who is holding us by His hand, and we can trust in Him. Thanks again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699. Or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.
Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois would like to help you to teach God's Word effectively to the children. CEF is offering a 30-hour certified course taught by trained instructors. All the classes are designed to help you to teach God's Word to the next generation for one reason: life change. The course will be held at the CEF office in Peoria and begins Friday, February 9th. For more information, call Jill at 309-688-9699 or go online at cefofillinois.com.